your fault. Baby, it's not mine. Not chance we're crossing the same roads all at one time. Even if you see it coming, no time to beg out gracefully. One thing I know for sure, be no doubt when you see you are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Rest make dab in the middle. We are. Rest make dab in the middle of it. Right on schedule.
The Secret Truth. Through forgiveness we awaken, transforming information and knowledge into wisdom. And now our co-hosts, Charlotte Littlefield and George Butler.
Welcome to The Secret Truth. I'm George Butler. Charlotte Littlefield is off tonight. We want to welcome everyone to our program. It airs 7 to 9 every Saturday night in Austin, Texas. And tonight, this is a special program that's been put together. And there was recent criticism on the national campaign of Alex Jones, and I just wanted to clarify somewhat my position on it and also some of the topics and issues that were raised by the Democratic campaign. I believe need to be clarified a little bit. And so what this clip, this first clip is Clinton Hillary, presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, Hillary Clinton, making some assertions and statements about Alex Jones, who is a local radio broadcaster and documentary producer and director here in Austin, Texas. And so I want you to listen carefully to that, and then I'll have some comments after that. And then we'll play some other clips that will back up some of the, we'll clarify somewhat for our listening audience, some of the topics and issues, that were brought up. And, it's very important to pay close attention to some of these clips. I'll preface and describe some of these clips before, they'll be played on live on the air. So you'll have a chance to know exactly where they come from. Some of these people are experts in their field. I mean, really, doctorates of national security issues and so forth. And so, anyway, I want you to listen carefully to that and pay close attention. But here's the clip, statements made by Hillary, presidential candidate Hillary Clinton on the campaign trail, I believe, in Reno, Nevada, just a few days ago.
But my friends, but my friends, this is what happens when you treat the National Enquirer like gospel. They said in October I'd be dead in 6 months. It's also what happens when you listen to the radio host, Alex Jones, who claims that 9/11 and the Oklahoma City bombings were inside jobs. He even said, and this really just is so disgusting, he even said the victims of the Sandy Hook massacre were child actors, and no one was actually killed there. I don't know what happens in somebody's mind or how dark their heart must be to say things like that. But Trump doesn't challenge these lies. He actually went on Jones's show and said, "Your reputation is amazing. I will not let you down." This from the man who wants to be President of the United States. You know, I've stood by President Obama's side as he made the toughest decisions a commander-in-chief has to make. In times of crisis, our country depends on steady leadership, clear thinking, calm judgment, because one wrong move can mean the difference between life and death. I know we have veterans here, and I know we have families, mothers and spouses and children of people currently serving. The last thing we need in the Situation Room is a loose cannon who can't tell the difference or doesn't care to between fact and fiction, and who buys so easily into racially tinged rumors.
That was Hillary Clinton, the presidential candidate for the Democratic Party, speaking at a recent rally in Reno. And she laid out a very aggressive criticism of Alex Jones, who is a broadcaster in Austin, Texas. And he's been a virtual pioneer in uncovering some very, very scandalous issues and topics. And so in laying out these different topics, I think she started with the 9/11 truth, was an inside job. And then she went on to Oklahoma, was also, she stated, an inside job. And then she went on to Sandy Hook and finished up saying that he maintained or asserted that none of the children died there and so forth. And she got a rousing applause, hand of applause, in putting that out. And it then she went on and described Alex Jones as having a dark heart, I believe, to that description. Well, I've known Alex Jones for since the 90s. I'd say about 1995, I would say. I've known him for about 21 years. And I would not describe Alex Jones as having a dark heart, in fact, heart at all. And I would describe Alex Jones as a true and very courageous leader in trying to ascertain the truth about these matters. And I've been looking at this world system myself, and along with Charlotte Littlefield Brown, we've been broadcasting ourselves coming up 10 years in November. So we've looked into some of the similar topics and issues that Alex Jones has been addressing over the years. And he's been broadcasting much longer than us, about twice as long. But I've been familiar with his Access Television here in Austin. And then I listened to some of his first radio programming. I've actually been on the program once, and I reported once for him when I attended the G20 up in Toronto one year. So I am familiar with Alex Jones. I believe that Alex has a good heart. He doesn't have a dark heart. He has a very, very beautiful heart, and he's well-founded in trying to get down to the truth on some of these matters. Trump is running against the establishment, and the total establishment is being allied against him and organized against him. So these issues that were brought up and criticized with criticism directed towards Alex are very, very sensitive issues in Trump's camp. He doesn't talk about them explicitly like other people do, but I believe that these issues are controlling mechanisms that have been used, especially 9/11. The 9/11 has been used to lock down this country and convert this country into a national security state. And this is what's very disturbing, is that when you listen to the establishment talk, and the Democrats are representing that, especially during this election, then you're going to hear the propaganda about 9/11 and Oklahoma and stuff that I believe, is directly opposite of what really happened there. And then on Sandy Hook itself, there's never been a definitive investigation done of that, and he's never answered some very serious questions. And I think Wolfgang Halbig out of Florida has been pursuing this, along with Jim Fetzer and many others, trying to get down to the bottom line on Sandy Hook. And we had a program. I interviewed James Tracy just weeks after Sandy Hook, and James Tracy was of the opinion that there were really major problems with that, and he identified certain actors. These were adult actors that were put forward in some of the interviews. There were other disturbing questions, too, about Sandy Hook and the fact that there was a sign there at the fire hall that where many of the people gathered, the first responders and so forth, that said, sign in here. Many people maintain today that Sandy Hook was an exercise, but as far as the details go, no one has been able to investigate this thoroughly enough to give us a definitive answer. Wolfgang Halbig, in his pursuit, has come closer than anyone to the truth about Sandy Hook. So I have included Klickoff to his YouTube, his latest YouTube on Sandy Hook, and you can go in and listen to him. And he has done a commendable job in trying to get to the bottom of Sandy Hook. In addition, we're going to play in full an interview that Alex Jones had with the producers, directors of A Noble Lie. These were two local Oklahoma guys that put this together and did a very, very fine job in fleshing out some of the details on the Oklahoma bombing. So I'm going to include that towards the end. Also, there are some clips in there of Ganser, Dr. Ganser, Daniel Ganser out of Switzerland, concerning the Pentagon and 9/11. And he talks about that, and also some put options that are facts, factual. These are real facts. So also included in there will be that. So listen for that also. But anyway, I may come back on and make some comments after those clips, or I might just let it run to the end. But anyway, we want to thank everyone out there for trying to pay attention to some of these matters. It's not easy to do. Okay. Well, anyway, what's coming up next will be some 9/11 news. Actually, this was a news broadcaster in Oklahoma that was reporting live shortly after the explosion occurred in Oklahoma about multiple explosive devices being brought and being handled in the building. And that gives you an idea that it was more than just this outside bomb. There were bombs inside the building. I believe that the goal was to bring the whole building down. But anyway, that's a live news report, live out of Oklahoma City. But you'll be able to hear that, and then followed by an interview that Alex Jones had with the producers of A Noble Lie. But anyway, we're trying to get down here to the truth and make some sense out of this thing, and instead of letting these accusations slip by us that, in my opinion, were inaccurate and misplaced and totally just totally wrong. But anyway, what's coming up next is this news clip about Oklahoma. It was live on the air at the time. Okay, pay close attention.
One explosion caused, because here's now what we are starting to learn about the succession, or what someone obviously hoped would be a succession of explosions. The first bomb that was in the federal building did go off. It did the damage that you see right there. The second explosive was found and defused. The third explosive that was found, and they are working on right now as we speak, I understand, both the second and third explosives, if you can imagine this, were larger than the first. So try to imagine two or threefold happening. Mm-hmm. What we've already seen there. It is just incredible to think that there was that much heavy artillery that was somehow moved into the downtown Oklahoma City Federal Building.
Two other explosive devices were found that were not detonated, and they were larger than the first.
I think he said another bomb.
Another bomb. Move back.
Oh, my God, another bomb.
We just saw, if you were watching there was a white pickup truck backing a trailer into the scene here. They're trying to move people out of the way so they can get it in. Appears to be the Oklahoma County Bomb Squad. It's their bomb disposal unit, essentially, is what it is, and it is what they would use to, if the report that we gave you just a few moments ago turns out to be correct, that they have found a second explosive device of some kind inside this building, they'll back that trailer down there, and the bomb squad folks will go in, and they will use that that trailer. You see the bucket on the back there, sort of, this is how they would transport the explosive device away from this populated area to try to do something with it.
The Justice Department is reporting that a second explosive device has been found in the AP Murrah building in downtown Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Mike, you're still with us, aren't you?
Yes, I am. And I might tell you, in addition to that, in fact, what we were told at the scene a few minutes ago was that, in fact, two different explosive devices were found in addition to the one that went off.
So a total of three.
A total of three.
Now confirmed
through federal authorities that a second bomb has been found inside that federal building in Oklahoma City. It was an explosion at 9 o'clock this morning that did that damage you're looking at right there, blowing off the entire north face of that building. Again, you're looking at the north face there. A second bomb was found on the east side of that building. A bomb squad is on the scene. That second bomb has not exploded. We don't know quite the status yet if they've managed to defuse it, but it has been confirmed that a second bomb was found on the east side.
The report I have is that one device was deactivated. Apparently there's another device, and obviously whatever did the damage to the Murrah building was a tremendous, very sophisticated explosive device.
So President Clinton just called Governor Frank Keating, and he says that three FBI anti-terrorist teams are en route to Oklahoma City. Right now they are saying that this is the work of a sophisticated group. This is a very sophisticated device, and it has to have been done by an explosives expert, obviously with this type of explosion.
The medical teams downtown are unable to get into the wreckage to retrieve more of the injured because of the presence of other bombs in the area.
I just took a look down the street at the Murrah building again. I see another bomb truck going, so apparently they're going to try to get out that third bomb that's been talked about. Still a lot of activity around the Murrah building. Security concerns that another one still might go off.
Fortunately, it didn't, because the second device that they found, we understand, was even more powerful than the first. They then found a third device, and you can see the look on this woman's face at the fear that she might have to go through the same thing again. They then found a third device, which was also larger than the first. Hard to feel lucky at this point, but certainly through some good work by some munitions experts and the explosive sniffing dogs, further tragedy has almost certainly been averted here.
But it was a great stroke of luck that we actually have got diffused bombs. It's through the bomb material that we will be able to track down who committed this atrocity.
Next up is the interview that Alex Jones had with the producers of A Noble Life. So I'm going to I'm putting this into our newscast tonight in its entirety. It's just too much really excellent information not to include it in entirety. But I'll put a click off in there. You can go to YouTube and also listen to it at your pleasure. But listen very carefully. These two producers here and directors have quite a lot to say about the Oklahoma bombing.
Now, I've interviewed James Lane on the radio before, and then also today again on the radio. And I had Chris Emery, the producer of the film, on, and they covered a lot of great information. And Holland Van den Nieuwenhoff has been obviously here at the office before whenever he shot the new film, A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. And so he's going to join us here today. He's the writer and researcher for the film. This is the only modern film in the last decade since the 16-year-old tragedy in Oklahoma City at the Alfred P. Murrah Building, the only modern film and the most professional ever made. And it's got many of the victims, many of the eyewitnesses in it. It really is an incredible achievement, and it's so important now because, as we know, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. It's so critical right now that we understand that they're gearing up to stage these events again. And they're so arrogant. They've had all these top globalists basically bragging and saying a new Oklahoma City will help us get our agenda through. In the Financial Times of London, you name it. It's super creepy. And so I want to encourage everybody to support the filmmakers, also the InfoWars operation, but more importantly, get a tool to wake up others and to show your friends and family and to go to InfoWars.com and get it, because if you order by Sunday night, we can guarantee it can be shipped out to you before Christmas. So InfoWars.com or 888-253-3139. And then have viewing parties. Show it to your friends and family so that they understand false flag terror. Because if we expose that system, we checkmate the globalists where they cannot continue these Reichstagian self-inflicted wound operations. So again, James Lane, who is the director, and Holland Van den Nieuwenhoff, join us to break this down. Holland, every time I get you on, I butcher your cool name. Did I get it right the second time?
The first time you got it right, it's Vanden Neuenhoff.
Vanden Neuenhoff. So easy when you hear it. I can barely say Jones. Good to have you here with us, gentlemen. You spent 2 years making the film. Briefly, Holland, break down what you think is so powerful about the film and why it's so important. And then let's launch into, because I got into the question today, who do we know is involved at the highest levels in the cover-up and in the bombing itself? And what are some of the other key points we didn't cover on the radio?
Well, what's unique about this film is that we were able to compile the amazing trail of evidence compiled by independent investigators, police officers, and so forth, and the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee over the past 16 years, package it, and show it to the American people, because all of this information, most of it has been reported before, but the mainstream media just won't cover it. Also, we've been able to break new ground with our own investigation. This was half movie-making, half investigation. We've talked to witnesses who have never exposed themselves before, who have never talked to the public or put their name out there before, for to expose this information about the bombing.
One thing that we try to do in this movie, Alex, is actually boil it down to the most provable essence. You know, if not, it would have been a 10-hour movie. This is going to be the last time that, you know, people are going to be able to hear the actual eyewitness testimony of people that were actually in that building. They said this is the last time they're going to do an interview. We just want a one cohesive package that encapsulates the entire event. If you know everything about the bombing or nothing, you're going to walk away with something new from this, because we cover the information that was garnered by the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee. We cover the official story, and then we deconstruct it. Then we get into some of the newer information that folks like Jesse Trinidou, who you've had on the show before, the information that they've uncovered most recently through FOIA requests and lawsuits that he's done against the FBI and the DOJ.
James and then Holland, crystallize in 2 minutes each the key evidence of Oklahoma City and the motive.
Well, what we can demonstrate is that the Ryder truck bomb, for one, was not the sole cause of destruction to the Murrah building, that there were other people also involved who assisted McVeigh, and these people were ignored by the U.S. government, that some of these people were U.S. government informants. We have the paper and named them by name. We named some of the agents involved. We named some of the government figures involved. Terry Nichols, in prison, gave an affidavit, and he has nothing to gain by lying about his role. He is suffering under two life sentences. He's never leaving jail. He named Larry Potts. Tim McVeigh had told him that Larry Potts, assistant director of the FBI, was in charge of the operation that culminated in the Oklahoma City bombing. Louis Free, head of the FBI, is now retired and now in charge of the Penn State investigation, the child abuse scandal going on there, so we can be assured that truth and justice will not be achieved in that matter, as it was not achieved in Oklahoma City. The victims here, we have shown this movie to the people involved, people who are in the building. They approve of our endeavors. They know. They want the story out. We were lied to about every aspect of the bombing, top to bottom. What is amazing is that they were able to get away with it, and that the mainstream media did not cover all of these points in a cohesive package. The American people can see it and say that this is a lie, and why is it happening? This can all be, you know, erased. All our doubts erased by releasing the security videotapes that surround the Murrah building that showed exactly what happened, who drove that truck, what exactly happened at the building. 16 years later, they say they don't have them, or they're lost, or that the tapes they have released, they're all having their tapes changed at the same time, 9:02 a.m., which is ridiculous. The official story and its excuses are very implausible. And once the American people see this, they'll come to understand the true nature of terrorism and question everything that their government says from now on.
Absolutely. And then, you know, they say that the primary explosive was ammonium nitrate and fuel oil that was in the Ryder truck that day. We've got eyewitness testimony from the survivors of that building. I mean, who are you going to believe? The people that were actually there or the people that are trying to push the official story? They said that the building was coming down 8 to 10 seconds before the truck bomb went off. They thought it was an earthquake. They had enough time to get under their desk before the glass blew in. According to the FEMA report, that blast wave from the truck was moving at 1,300 feet per second. The story just doesn't hold water, according to the people that were actually there. When you add that with the fact that we've got Brigadier General Parton, who does an analysis of the bombing showing where the additional ordnance would have been placed, you've got Dr. Samuel Cohen, the inventor of the neutron bomb, saying that it would be against the laws of physics, no matter how much ammonium nitrate and fuel oil was used, to bring that building down. We've got a report from Eglin Air Force Base where they constructed a single larger explosive, set it off to next to a weaker structure, and it did less damage. It was their conclusion that there had to be additional ordnance in inside the building. We've got Officer Terrence Shakey, real hero that day, saved eight people's lives, but he was on the scene within minutes. One of the hallmarks of an ammonium nitrate and fuel oil bomb is a nitric gas cloud, be it in Ireland, be it 41 years ago at Stirling Hall, where the ammonium nitrate bomb was set off. The first 26 responders were hospitalized from the inhalation of nitric gas. That did not happen, and Terry Yakey saving people from the building that day within minutes proves that there was no nitric gas cloud.
All right, I want to add a key piece of evidence here, and Holland, you started to get into it. Not one, not two, but three different high-level FBI agents, including Larry Potts, the deputy director, head of counterterrorism, said he was in Dallas, took a Southwest Airlines flight. Even mainstream media said there were no flights going in that day at that time. Then he said, oh, I drove. This is a guy caught like in a movie. Oh, I did this, I did that. Hotel receipts of him the day before, which people knew to look into because he'd been seen. So right there, we know they're on the ground. It fits into what McVeigh and others had said. They needed to go after the states' rights movement that was centered around Oklahoma. They needed to demonize the growing militia movement. They needed to kind of cover up what had happened at Waco with the flare footage and the killing there that was coming out in Congress right at that time. Bill Clinton told USA Today on Air Force One right after being elected, he said, I owe my reelection to Oklahoma City. And now their advisors today, we covered on the radio, there's a whole bunch of them, perhaps you can talk to this, are saying we need a new Oklahoma City to blame domestic groups. I mean, that's how dumb they think we are, and we're right up to the same point. And talk about Potts, but then I want to expand into Eric Holder, who was involved in the cover-up. We've got his emails, thanks to the lawsuits with Jesse Trinidad and others, getting the information through Foyer. But we have Holder running a false flag with tens of thousands of guns into Mexico and drugs back into the U.S. That's now all confirmed. We knew it back in January of this year. I mean, this is big medicine. This is big news. If they'd ship thousands of guns into Mexico and kill hundreds, why wouldn't they stage this? I mean, it shows, and then the memos, ABC, CBS got them, where they said, we're going to do this to blame the Second Amendment. There's a false flag confirmed.
Exactly. Operation Fast and Furious is making the headlines right now, where it shows that the ATF is documented, along with the FBI, was shipping guns to Mexico. That has killed thousands of people. And Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, responsible for enforcing the laws of the land back in 1995, he was in charge of the FBI investigation, the Department of Justice investigation, into the Oklahoma City bombing, and in charge of the cover-up of the murder of Kenneth Trentadue in federal custody. We have his emails where he talks about the Trentadues and Trentadon'ts on how to cover up the story. And the Trentadue story led directly to Oklahoma City. So what you have in the headlines now is Holder implicated right now in a false flag operation that killed has killed thousands of people.
Yeah, you're right. Let me stop you. Because the Mexican government and the U.S. admit over 2,000. You're right. It's not hundreds. It's thousands. And it's at least six cops and Border Patrol on our side. Please continue.
So we have him implicated in what is now being reported in the mainstream media as legitimately a false flag operation. Holder, back in 1995, was in charge of another false flag operation, the Oklahoma City bombing. This is why this movie is so timely. We're showing that this is a continual pattern, and if these people are not held accountable for their crimes, they rise up in power and they commit even greater crimes.
Every time the body count goes up, you know, that's why we have to hold them accountable. And this movie is going to be a tool, because it's so easy to poke holes through the official story of the Oklahoma City bombing. You know, they've gotten a little more sophisticated, you know, more recently, but the Oklahoma City bombing story is just so easy to disprove.
And the American people haven't seen it in this platform, just destroyed from top to bottom. It holds absolutely no water. And what we can conclusively prove with this movie, at the very least, is that the official story is a lie.
All right, well, I want to give you guys about a 95 on film review, and I think I can only give one of my films a 95. I mean, I want to be honest with folks here reviewing the film, that the information is 5 stars, 100%. The quality of the high-def footage has never before been seen. You know, we got the original TV tapes. Everybody just had grainy stuff. The interviews you got with survivors, all these people, amazing. There's a few areas, and this happens in my films, where there's on-the-fly interviews, the audio is a little hot or a little low. But overall, for your first film, I mean, it's just incredible, and it shows the passion that you guys brought to this. I mean, this is really a powerful film. And I know a lot of people out there with a lot of influence watch this show, listen to this show. Listen, none of us are safe if we don't expose this. And so I mean, I just want to say people should get the film. I mean, it's not going to film festivals. It's not going through that whole route. It's right to the public, and it's up to the people for a noble lie to have the effect it should. I mean, if this got seen 35 million times for free online, I know soon it's going to come out online. like Obama deception has had, imagine how this would hurt the globalists, because their secret weapon is false flag. It is their go-to zeitgeist. We've got to take that weapon away from them.
Exactly. And what this movie does is it shows the methodology of state-sponsored terror. You know, at the time of the Oklahoma City bombing, there was a patriot movement in this country. People were talking about a restoration of the Constitution, the expansion of the police state powers. They were resisting the anti-terrorism legislation that was trying to be passed. After the Oklahoma City bombing, it completely silenced anybody that opposed the globalization agenda. You know, even to this day, if you, you know, oppose the expansion of government power, you're a McVeigh. They love to throw that term out. And then about the time the Patriot movement started to get renewed, we had 9/11. Same pattern. It shows it was Oklahoma City was a precursor to 9/11. I mean, after the event, the Patriot Act passed. You know, everybody was begging, you know, to have their freedoms taken away. Prior to 9/11, they never would have accepted it. And now we have a new Patriot movement moving in this country, and exposing these events is going to take away their false flag power. Because I mean, just like Kurt Haskell, where I mean, he said that he wanted to make sure that the underwear bomber case was exposed because he knew there was something wrong with 9/11. This shows that people in this movement are having an effect, and we are taking the tools away from the New World Order and not allowing them to murder people and ride our ashes to their own political ends.
Holland, let's get more into your list there from your research, because you guys are there in Oklahoma. You know, some members of your team over a decade just obsessed with this, because you should be. It's a mass murder, and the government did it. My God, this is incredible. And it's incredible how they've used it, undoubtedly, to take our liberties and write public memos about how wonderful it was. That's their total arrogance at us, because they know the public's naive. It's time to stop being children and admit this. Let's go over some more of the nasty people who were red-handed there, part of the operation. I mean, you've got the governor's brother. What about him publishing a book before the thing where a Tom McVeigh is part of the secret circle or whatever and blows it up? I mean, this is incredible.
Some of these facts are just so amazing that they would even pass the plausibility test in a fiction story. We have the brother of the Oklahoma governor at the time of the bombing, Frank Keating, his brother Martin Keating, who is a self-admitted insider in military intelligence, writes a book called Final Jihad. According to the publisher, this book was written in 1992. This is about the time, mind you, that McVeigh was being recruited for secret government activities out of the Army, according to his own admission. Martin Keating writes a book called Final Jihad, which features a character named Ted McVeigh, who tries to bomb a federal building in Oklahoma City, a plot that is spoiled by a state trooper. Now we take that fiction, that so-called fiction, we look at the reality that was presented to us the day of the bombing, is that McVeigh gets arrested after the bombing in Oklahoma by a state trooper. Now, this obviously is not a coincidence, and then no one can defend that. Obviously, there was inside knowledge on the part of the governor's office. We have talked to people who have traced a call from the governor's office to Walter Reed Army Hospital.
By the way, let me stop you. It did come, they wrote it in 92, came out in like 94, and yes. What's weird is after I made a big deal about this like 8 years ago on Wikipedia and on, but I own a copy. There's one here in the office. I just happened to mention this as a factoid. So I have the one published in 94. They come back out with it and say original publishing date, 1996. I mean, that shows again that what they're doing. It's so amazing that even on Amazon they changed the date.
Well, they always try to you know, cover their tracks, and that, you know, that was something that we saw here in the Oklahoma City case is, you know, the early hours, the truth always comes out in the media. It's within hours they get control of the story and start pushing, you know, whatever cover-up they're going to perpetrate. In Oklahoma, only one news station maintained any integrity for a few months, which was Channel 4, and then the New York Times came in, bought the local news station, fired the program director and the lead reporter, and then any information that contradicted the official story was completely silenced.
The local media tried to do a good job here, and we could see firsthand how the feds came in, how the New York Times came in, and squashed all independent inquiry into the bombing. Channel 4 was interviewing John Doe number 2 witnesses, talking about what the tapes really showed, talking about the second bombs, talking about accomplices. Then all of a sudden, it was just shut down.
And let's expand on that.
Well, Channel 4 started basically the original inquiry into the bombing. The first questions raised were why the office of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms in the building was empty. The ATF, which had started the Branch Davidian raid 2 years before to the day, was the supposed target of the attack, but their office is empty. One of the men who responded to the bombing, who was trying to look for his wife, he talked to an ATF agent who told him that they had been paged, notified by their pagers, to not come into work that day.
Well, that's right. And Terrence Yakey and some of the doctors involved said within a minute after it happened, they were in full gear demanding, patch me up, I was up in there. And they're like, no, you weren't.
Terrence Yakey and Dr. Plumlee were asking questions about when they showed up, why there were certain federal officials there on site, FBI officials too. The FBI headquarters is several miles away. There were people there already, and yet Terrence Yakey was four blocks away. He was the first person to respond. A lot of questions raised. We show in this movie that the ATF story about what they were doing in that building is a lie. We name an ATF.
And they practiced months before in New Mexico blowing up a Ryder truck. I mean, there is no end to these people. I mean, there is really no end to how evil they are. My God, it is just unspeakably wicked. But you know, talking about the censorship, buying up that TV station and everything else that we saw and changing the publishing date on this book, that just shows you how scared they are of info. This info didn't have power. If the global terrorists, the social engineers, were invincible, they wouldn't care. Seeing now military on the streets, checkpoints, going to arrest citizens, training that Oklahoma City investigators, including state reps, are terrorists. You get the manuals. I mean, it looks cartoonish because it's so over the top, but it's really happening. But you look at Hitler, Stalin, Mao, that looks cartoonish. Why'd they put up with it? Well, it's the authorities. So, I mean, seeing everything happen today as it all comes true, this just adds to the urgency. Your views on that?
Well, it's very timely because as we talk about the NDAA bill passing with the indefinite detention of American citizens without trial, even if they're found innocent, you say, well, okay, who are they gonna round up? Through Operation Defuse, documents, internal Fusion Center documents were leaked to us that show OKBombing.net, which was a website originally ran by the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee, a state representative, Charles Key, is listed under domestic terrorism. I mean, this shows the people that they want to round up because these institutions' primary goal above anything else is self-preservation, and they have to silence anybody that has the audacity to expose the crimes of the global oligarchy.
By the way, we've talked to investigative journalist Wayne Madsen and others who've talked to high-level federal informants, Judge Roll, and I've seen other connections showing this, Judge Roll, who got shot in the Gifford situation, and I heard this at the time, I was like, no, that was about a gun-running thing, and he was going to expose it, was meeting with her secretly, and kind of a transpartisan deal. But now there's evidence that that was really a hit to basically cover up what was happening. But, I mean, there it is. Just 6-8 months ago, they were saying it's a conspiracy theory. We didn't ship guns into Mexico. We only watched them at gun shops. Then it turned out they ordered them to do it. That was just a cover to blame the Second Amendment. They were really shipping 18-wheelers of guns in, cocaine back in. And now it's all there. New York Times, El Paso Times, Chicago Tribune, we've all covered it here in probably 15 reports.
Well, I mean, you see how the media is controlled this way. The same week we released our movie, Newsweek magazine released on its internet organ, The Daily Beast, an article that was supposed to be an expose of Operation PACON in the early 90s. PACON may have been the genesis of the Oklahoma City bombing. PACON was an operation that the FBI and the ATF undertook to infiltrate every so-called dissident group in the country.
Yeah, no, McVeigh was part of that, going to every gun show, the Davidians, every event to scope out who they wanted to blame for the attack.
But when you look at the Newsweek article when it was finally released, that all mention of Tim McVeigh, Andy Strassmeyer, who we have cited in the Murrah Building with bombs, and Operation PACON have been excised from the final version of the article, and that has been proven because the original article was leaked out. So they are still exercising the cover-up here. They do not want PACON getting out, because that was where Oklahoma City may have been born, because it can prove that they were watching McVeigh, that McVeigh was surrounded by government informants from day one.
No, exactly. They always use another operation as the cover umbrella, just like with the 7-7 attack in England. It's admitted the government ran drills, the exact bus, exact trains attacked at the exact same place at the exact same time. It's something like 20-something trectagillion. That's exactly. Billions of times all the grains of sand in the world that would happen. 9-11, every one of these events, so that if other government agencies bust the intercriminal group doing it, they say, oh, it's just a drill. Like 9-11 with Tripod 2, with Giuliani, the attacks on the towers.
Yes, and we actually have a Senate aide that told Charles Key that it was that they had information that this was a sting operation that had gone bad. Well, you look
that's
at that.
Like that's like World Trade Center, where they cook the bomb, train the driver. The informant says you're going to let it go forward, knows they're setting him up. He records the FBI, Ahmad Salam, saying go ahead and exactly. let it happen. Same deal. He was smart enough, though, to record him. So we have New York Times, CBS News. Yes, the government allowed it to take place. No, they didn't allow it to take place. They did it.
Yeah, and what happens with this is even the agents that were not necessarily involved in taking the operation live, they are complicit in the cover up to preserve them themselves and their pensions. You know, so it gets the whole institution involved in the cover up.
Well, we see the mechanism for a false flag operation is that they take an existing operation, they insert a few key personnel, and they turn it to their own ends. The Oklahoma City bombing was originally supposed to be a big publicity stunt. That bomb was supposed to explode the previous night and destroy an empty building. That's what they were waiting on, a big PR stunt. That's not
and that's why McVeigh got so mad, we're told, because he didn't want to kill kids.
Exactly. And then once they messed up and it blew up and killed over 100 people, almost 200 people, now everyone goes into cover-up mode for what they think is a tremendous foul-up. But it's not. It actually did go along according to the plan, and that's how they get the cover-up installed. It's not like every agent on the street is covering up the fact that the FBI blew up the Murrah building.
No, it's declassified that Lee Harvey Oswald had a top security clearance at a YouTube base in Japan, was CIA, the documents have now been declassified, and they set him up. And he's like, I'm a patsy. And they're like, you're not going to talk. Boom, with a guy they know has already got cancer. And Jolly and West, McVeigh's doctor, is involved with that. Who's in the congressional hearings, folks, I know this sounds crazy, but you got to look it up yourself, as the number two guy under Ewing Cameron for mind control programs, MKUltra. I mean, this is, you cannot make up how weird this is.
Yeah, and people would question, well, if he was a government agent working, why would he not expose the people that were higher up? And whenever Dr. Jolly West comes on the scene consulting with the defense team, you know, immediately after the bombing, this guy's worked with Saran, Jack Ruby, Patty Hearst, you know, any of these big events to you know, and then all of a sudden now they're silent on what happened. You know, I think that's a good possibility as to why McVeigh wasn't talking after the event. And then you see that Dr. Jolly West actually passes the torch to his protege, Wendy Painting uncovered information where his protege, John Smith, took over with McVeigh. That guy is now in charge of psychology at Guantanamo Bay.
Which they admit has another base within it where they do mind control studies. That's even Washington Post. And then they release those guys to become Al-Qaeda leaders leading the Libya attack.
Exactly. It's kind of the self-perpetuating cycle. They create these zombie killers in these mind control camps. What we see at Guantanamo Bay is that you have Camp X-Ray, and then you have what the guards call Camp Nowhere, which is a camp that's not on the map, where the real heavy stuff goes down. So, I mean...
Well, they admit that's CIA doctors.
Exactly.
Right, and they use the 3 Ds, dependency, debilitation, and dread. This was pioneered by, you know, Ewan Cameron and Jolly and West. They're using that at Guantanamo Bay, and I think this is probably why they're not interested in older so-called Al-Qaeda people being put in there.
They only want kids. That's why it came out again in the Washington Post and in Operation Jawbreaker that they wanted 12-year-old kids in Afghanistan. That's who they mainly were grabbing because they can purely program them, and these are going to be the terrorists they're going to unleash on America. And for those who don't know, there's History Channel specials even admitting that Ewing Cameron, Jolly and West's boss, would grab foster children and put them on hallucinogens for a year straight, frying their brain with audio recording who they were and keywords to get food, to stop the dread, putting them on PCP, dancing around in devil outfits, terrorizing 5-year-old girls. I mean, this country is run by absolute psychopathic killers. And the government, I mean, it came out in Guantanamo Bay. I'm not even going to say on air what they do to those people. I mean, it is unbelievable, man. And they're all going to hit us with jihadi attacks. And then they'll come and say, we got to stick our hands down your children's pants because we're fighting Al-Qaeda, who publicly works for them.
Exactly. I mean, what we see there is that they create the actual problem. This is the false flag attack. They create the actual problem. And if people have a hard time believing that this government or a faction of this government could have pulled off Oklahoma City, look at what the CIA has been doing to countries overseas for decades. Fostering coups, putting in military strongmen that kill thousands of people, doing fake bombings under Operation Gladio in Europe and Italy. The Italian Senate has accused the CIA of being involved in the Bologna train bombing station, Bologna train station bombing.
No, their former president, who was the head of their intelligence agency at the time, said he was involved in it. And he said 9/11's an inside job. That's the big Italian papers. You're absolutely right.
When they bring that mechanism home to affect change here, why should we be surprised? Like we said, if you don't hold them accountable, they will continue to do their crimes and make them greater. What incentive do they have to stop? None.
And the only reason we're still alive is because if they kill us, it highlights everything we've said, exclamation points. They still may do it. But once you understand these are cold-blooded killers who even set up their own agents who are going to bomb a empty building, and then McVeigh throws a fit, and we've talked to the witnesses, you know, family and others, lawyers. As you said, he just, I'm not going to blow kids up. Forget this. They're like, they'd already psychologically pegged that he was Dudley Do-Right was going to do that. They were already, I mean, they're like, because it's run by 170 IQ psychiatrist. This whole thing is run by them.
Well, they've had decades to hone their technique. I mean, MKUltra started in the 1950s, under the 1960s under that name, then it changed, and it went underground. I mean, they've had decades to
hone their technique. And they profiled McVeigh. They profiled Lee Harvey Oswald.
McVeigh's military records from Special Forces were never released. His psychological records were never released. And what medical records we do have are very disturbing. He was going to the doctor, at last count, over 100 times in just 3 years in the military. That is highly unusual for someone in the combat arms, highly unusual for someone like McVeigh, who claims never have any health problems. He's going to the dentist once a week for over a year, claims he has no dental problems. What is he doing? What is he going under? We don't know, and they have never released all those records in full. In fact, those records on McVeigh were sealed on orders of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Exactly. It's national security everywhere. Gentlemen, great job. Look forward to talking to you again. And interviewing some of the people that are in your film. Amazing job. Available at InfoWars.com. People got to get this video out to everybody. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you, gentlemen. All right, folks, that is it for this split edition of InfoWars Nightly News with Mike Adams in the first half, and I came in the second half. Great job to the crew. God willing, we'll see you back Sunday live on the radio, 4 to 6 p.m., and back Monday on the radio show and then the nighttime show. Why do we work so hard? Because we know terrorists are running the government, and nobody's safe. It's like that old analogy of the old 40s, you know, adventure movies where the explorer, the archaeologist, kind of the remake is Indiana Jones, is in the temple and the ceiling's coming down to kill you with spikes. You got to find the lever to stop it or get out of there. I mean, it's not like, God, you're brave. You're trying to get out of this. Brave? No, I'm not brave. I realize our society has no future. I guess I'm brave that I'm not a coward who only thinks about myself, and if I grovel, maybe I'll get a few more years out of this. There's no point even going forward if we don't beat these people. You think they stop blowing up federal buildings? They're putting stuff in the water, the food, they've been caught. It's all public, the vaccines, the Rockefeller Foundation. We've shown it to you. All you've got to do is flip the switch and stop being naive. The film's Noble Lie, available at InfoWars.com. And they could kill all of us, but this information will live on, and that's what's important. Expose false flag terror. Expose the New World Order. Order the film. Give the gift of truth. Order it by Sunday night. Guaranteed before Christmas delivery under that Tannenbaum to wake somebody up. Give the gift of truth. Expose the false flag, because they're getting ready to stage more and blame it on domestic groups. They'll flip the whole Al-Qaeda brainwashing onto domestics. You already see the beta testing, the preconditioning. It's here. All right, I'm Alex Jones signing off from the front lines of the info war.
This next clip is, and that Oklahoma interview was mainly just a tremendous. This is a service. This is an example of what Alex Jones and InfoWars has been doing for this country, not only here for in the Austin area, but for the nationwide and the worldwide listening audience. What follows next is Dr. Ganser out of Switzerland. And he's going to make some statements about 9/11 and some of the problems with that. So listen carefully, and then we might just go directly to the end to our exit music. So, and I might not have time to make any more comments, but listen very carefully to this. Dr. Ganser from Switzerland.
Likely hypothesis in the case of Building 7 wasn't even mentioned. This is not science.
The scientific forensic evidence, ignored by NIST, but carefully reviewed by teams of technical professionals, corroborates the hypothesis of explosive controlled demolition. We traveled to 21 foreign countries and 32 American cities, bringing this evidence to the attention of the public. And we're backed by 9/11 family members and other concerned citizens who are calling for an independent, unbiased investigation.
I'm a family member trying to find out the answers to the murder of 3,000 plus people. The bottom line is that it needs to be investigated properly.
Okay. We come to chapter 5. Chapter 5 basically says the Pentagon is the other site where we have to look at. Now, the important thing for you to notice is that the Pentagon is flat. It has five corners, that's why it's Pentagon, but it's flat. It's not like the Twin Towers high. It's flat. So the official story is that it was hit by a plane, like that. This is not a picture. This is a computer simulation to show how low the plane has to fly to hit the Pentagon. And then we have pictures of the Pentagon after it had been hit. And then people went and said, we can't see no plane here. If it hits the Pentagon, it should be here. George Nelson, who worked for the U.S. Air Force, and is, his job was aircraft accident investigator and airplane parts authority. He was 34 years in the Air Force. He says, with all the evidence readily available at the Pentagon crash site, any unbiased, rational investigator could only conclude that a Boeing 757 did not fly into the Pentagon, as alleged. Now, that's complicated. Is he right or is he wrong? You know, as a historian, I have Bush, who tells us that a Pentagon was hit by a plane. Then I have these people stepping out and saying, no, it was not hit by a plane. So that's really complicated. We have to write history, remember. So we look at the pictures again, and that's when the fire is extinguished. And the picture that was later shown is when part of the building collapsed, but that's half an hour later. You have to look at the data right after the Pentagon was hit, and not this picture. This is half an hour later. And you had a French journalist who, soon after the attacks, his name is Thierry Maison, said, in 2003, the Pentagon was not hit by an airplane. And that was a huge debate, you know. The 9/11, the big lie, and everybody said he's crazy. And he said, no, it was a missile, you know. The Pentagon fired a missile into the Pentagon and then said, we were attacked by Osama bin Laden. That's what he basically suggested. He couldn't prove it, but he said, that could be. And he said, we certainly see a hole in the Pentagon at the back of the wall. This is the entrance site, and something penetrated these different rings, and it came out here. So it has to be something very solid. And as historians, we would like to go back to the Pentagon and look at that hole. But obviously you can't do that, because it has all been reconstructed. That is in March 2002. What we did get, however, is a video. Many people said, we want a video to see how the plane hits the Pentagon. So after many years, the Pentagon produced a video, and this is the video. It came out in 2006. You see something hits the Pentagon. Something. But it's not clear what. We come to Dick Cheney. He's the vice president on September 11, and he is in the White House when the Pentagon is allegedly hit by a plane. And now we have the former Minister for Transport, Norman Mineta, who was in the White House on that same day. And he says, in that moment, before the Pentagon was hit, Cheney had a strange communication with somebody I don't know. Okay? And Norman Mineta went before the 9/11 Commission and said this was the communication. He said, in the White House on that morning, there was a young man who had come in and said to the Vice President, the plane is 50 miles out, the plane is 30 miles out, and when it got down to the plane is 10 miles out, the young man also said to the Vice President, do the orders still stand? And the Vice President turned and whipped his neck around and said, of course, the orders still stand. Have you heard anything to the contrary? Now, we do not know who that young man was, and we do not know what the orders were. And the problem is, this statement was not included in the 9/11 Commission report, although it is an important statement to find out what Dick Cheney was doing on 9/11. Let me come to chapter 6, the put options. Many people don't know that on 9/11, a lot of money was made. Okay? It's also about money. On the one hand, through the insurance that had to pay for the destruction of the World Trade Center. On the other hand, you have people who speculated that the shares of United Airlines and American Airlines would go down, and you can speculate on shares that can go down with put options. Those of you who don't know much about international finance don't know put options, but put option basically is a bet that a share will fall. It's nothing criminal, okay? It's happening every day. But on that specific day, you have bets on United Airlines and American Airlines. What we research is a colleague of mine, he's Professor Mark Chesney at the Institute of Banking at Zurich University. He researched whether you also have a lot of call options on that day. Call and put, you know, call means that you speculate that the shares will go up, and put is that they go down. And you need to find out whether there's significant more put. And there's significantly more put, that's clear. And then you look, yeah, maybe somebody was speculating that the whole airline industry will have problems. And they also speculated on Lufthansa and Singapore Airlines and whatever. But no, they only speculated on United and American. And those were the two airlines involved. So really, this is insider trading, clearly. What does the 9/11 Commission report say? It says, some unusual trading did in fact occur. The volume of put options surged in the parent companies of United Airlines on September 6 and American Airlines on September 10. Yet further investigation revealed that the trading had no connection with 9/11. A single US-based institutional investor with no conceivable ties to Al-Qaeda purchased 95% of the United Airlines puts. So they didn't investigate it any further. And that is incredible. You obviously have to investigate this further. But in the report, it is buried on page 49 in footnote 130. Who's going to find it? I find it. But most people don't even read the report. We have one congresswoman, he's Cynthia McKinney. She said in 2002 that this is not right. She said those people who dealt with unusual put options shortly before 9/11 knew enough to make millions. And you know, it's not right to make money out of terrorist attacks. It's not right. So clearly, we need to know more. Let me come to chapter 7, Able Danger. Able Danger is an operation that was not known in the years after 9/11. It was a plan to look at Muslim terrorists who are in the United States, to observe them and watch their every move. The 9/11 Commission report fails to mention that the year before the attacks, a secret Pentagon project called Able Danger had identified four 9/11 hijackers, including leader Mohammed Atta. That was revealed in 2005 by the New York Times. Most people by that time didn't, you know, read about 9/11. They just, you know, went on with their daily business. But it is very important if the leading hijackers had been watched by the Pentagon. Okay? Mohammed Atta flew in the North Tower, and Marwan al-Sheri allegedly flew in the South Tower, and they had all been on the watch list. So people who believe in the Lihop theory, in the let it happen on theory, let it happen on purpose theory, they say Able Danger proves that those terrorists operated under the umbrella of the Pentagon. Whether that is true or not, I don't know. But you have a congressman, Kurt Weldon, who said, unbelievable, it's a cover-up of information on the largest attack in the history of the country. The 9/11 Commission did not do its job. It's time to get the facts to the American people. He said, we need new investigation into Able Danger. And he said, I can't understand that it's not in the 9/11 Commission report. Thomas Keene and Lee Hamilton, who had written the report, said that Able Danger did not turn out to be historically significant. I'm very surprised that they say that. They just say, this is not significant. They put it aside. Now, I'm a historian with a PhD, and I tell you, yes, it's historically significant. Of course it should be in the report. Of course you should have more investigation on that. Who is the source? How do we know that Able Danger took place? The source is Colonel Anthony Schaefer. He's 42 years old in 2005. He's from Kansas, and he had blown the story in August 2005. He said he had to risk his career by discussing Able Danger. Many people come forward and say, you know, if there were people who found out shady things about 9/11, if it's a conspiracy, then these people would step forward and I would hear about it. Then I say, Well, yes, there are people who step forward, but you don't hear about it. That's the main question. Colonel Schaeffer was part of a secret Pentagon operation. He said that his role in Able Danger was a liaison with the Defense Intelligence Agency, DIA. That's one of many different secret services in the U.S., not only the CIA and the FBI. There's also the DIA and the NSA and a lot more. He was not involved in the details of the strategy used in Able Danger, but he said, I do believe the 9/11 Commission should have done that job, figuring out what went wrong with Able Danger. Because if they watched the terrorists, why didn't they stop them? I'm proud of my operational record, he says, and I love what I do. But there comes a time, and I believe the time for me is now, to stand for something, to stand for what is right. So he stepped up and said, we need more information on what happened on 9/11.